Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, put your hands together. I need to see you screaming here. Shake your red hair like me. Woo! Yeah, yeah. How many of you glad to be free tonight?
Welcome, welcome.
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 To the preacher.
And the pastor.
I'm Tawanika Manning.
And I'm Dorothy Manning.
And we are the preacher.
And the pastor.
Today we have a great topic. We're talking about knowing
who you are.
Yes, it's going to do you know who you are?
Yes, this is going to be a great topic tonight. I can't wait to get into it, knowing who you are. At some point in my life, I did not know who I was. But then when I found out who I was, I've been living a much better life, a different life. And I thank God for that.
Amen, amen. Thank you, opportunity, and to the preacher and the pastor show. We thank God for this opportunity to be able to bring the show to you. So I'm excited about the show on today and what God is doing when you know who you are. A lot of times we are stumbling around in life, not knowing who we are. Even as we get older, we're still trying to figure out who am I and what is my purpose. So once we know who you are, then you will know your purpose. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's get into the show. Again, welcome. Welcome, everybody, to the show, the Preaching the Pastor Show. Today we're talking about knowing who you are. This show is to help us to examine who we are in Christ. First of all, you know, knowing who you are, then know who you are in Christ is where we want to be in life. One thing is to know, you know, ourselves by name and what we're called by our people. Who does God say that you are? So once we know this, we can now operate in the know. You know, it's one thing to operate in the unknown, but operating in the know, now we know who we are. So once we know that, we can now operate effectively and understand our purpose and walk in our purpose. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 22-24, that you put off, and let me give you all time to get there, Ephesians 4, verse 22-24, you all, verse 22-24, give you all the opportunity to get to that. part of the book of Ephesians. Amen. We thank God again for this time and it's time for knowing who you are. Some of us are well in our 30s and 40s and, you know, 50s and 60s, even 70s, still saying, who am I? I don't even know who I am. And until we can figure out who we are, you know, we can begin to progress, I would say, in the right direction in our calling, you know, because if we don't know who we are, how do we know where to go so we can fulfill that is in us? Because who you are is what's in you. Amen. It's not about how your hair is cut, how your hair is dressed, what makeup, what clothes you wear. It's about what's on the inside of you. Word count. So, again, we are talking about knowing who you are. And we're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, you all, chapter 4, verse 22-24 says, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So the Bible is saying to us, so our old way of life before we believed in Christ is completely in the past. So once we know, you know, because if we don't know who we are, when we come into the knowing of who we are, you know, and accepting Christ in our life, there's a change, and you become to know who you are. A lot of, you're in the Bible, even with the disciples, they didn't know who they was until Jesus called them in, and today find out who their identity, their true identity is in Christ, and that's what it's all about. It's about our walk in Christ and knowing who we are in Christ, not what man says we are, because one thing we know about God is that he will equip the call. So if he called you, and a lot of people's names are change, and when their name is changed, they're able to walk into who they truly are and who they truly called to be. So we should put, as the Bible, in these particular scriptures, we should put it behind us, the old man, the old behavior, who we used to be, so then we know who we are now. So we should put it behind us like old clothes to be thrown away. So this is both once and for all decision when we decide to accept Christ's gift of salvation. It changes us, but also a daily conscious commitment, so we're not to be driven by desire or impulse. We must put on the new role, head in the new direction, and have a new way of thinking that the Holy Spirit gives us. And that's knowing who you are. And once you know who you are, you can begin to operate in the right direction and going in the right direction. But first you got to know who you are. Who am I? I know I've looked in the mirror and said, you know, who am I? You know, I've been looking at myself and saw myself changing at one point, and it was just asking myself, who are you? You know, who am I looking at? You know, what have I become, you know, before I decided, you know, to surrender all over to God and give my life, I mean, withholding nothing. And that's something my prayer is, you know, withholding nothing, because we definitely want that change. So then we know who you are. And it's one thing to know who you are. Amen?
Amen. Amen. It's everything about your whole life is knowing who you are. This is a battle. This is a battle that each and everybody will face their whole life, is knowing who you are. Or better words, identifying with the person that's on the inside, or the person. You know, you said it there, Pastor. You said you have there's a particular time when you looked yourself in the mirror and you had to ask yourself this question. Okay, what you did was you did an you examined yourself, and I don't know if on the reason why you did it or when you did it. You examined yourself because of either something was going on in your life at the time, or there's something that happened before, or something that was about to go on that caused you to have an emotion or have a feeling or have a thought. Now, this is the trick. This is a trick of Satan's agents to have us to second-guess ourselves or to doubt ourselves. Now, we know over here in the beginning of the existence of man and the existence of woman, the first thing that was tested as far as man and woman are concerned is their identity. Is their identity. That's the reason why Satan, that's the reason why he had lied and deceived man and woman, to get them to second-guess themselves, not knowing who they are. Not knowing who they are, not knowing what he said was, God knows that if you was to eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, then you would be like God. See, if man and woman would have knew that God, if they would have realized that who they were, they would have knew that, you know what, Satan, you get on out of here. Or you know what, serpent, you get on out of here.
You want to say, I want to be like God, when you are already created in the image of God. You are already created in the image of God. So this is the same thing that will happen to us when we start being bogged down with the whatever it is, the words of someone that's trying to create a fear or create some type of condemnation in your life, which will cause you to look at yourself and be like, you know what? Who am I? Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why am I feeling this way? Why, you know, all this why question. Knowing who you are, I have a couple of different things how you know who you are. One thing that I put down here is knowing who you are is to understand the things you are fashioning yourself around. Who do you act like or sound like? Now, over here in 1 Peter 1 and 14, over here in 1 Peter 1 and 14, it reads here, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. And right here, 15 said, but as he which have called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manners of conversation. So now because of this right here, scripture here, now we know that every single word that's in the Bible, it is written, it's recorded, its life has already been written. Whoever said it, I don't know who said it, whether it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, whether it was God that said it, but we know that the words are true. And we need to know when we read the word of God that it is true. And this right here saying is that your conversations should be holy conversations. So if you are having any conversations outside of holy conversations, then what kind of conversations are you having? So that means that who are you listening to and what is getting into your mind that's causing you to think or feel a different way than what the word of God says? Now, this is scripture here, 1 Peter 1 and 14. Another way, I was over here in Colossians 2 and 8. Well, knowing who you are is to understand who you are getting your philosophies from. Now, we just read this over here in 1 Peter. Let's go over here to Colossians. Colossians 2 and 8. Give me 1 second, I'll get over here. Colossians 2 and 8. We should definitely know who we are. Who we are is in Christ. That's the reason why our name is Christian. The day that you decided that Jesus Christ was your Lord and Savior, this was the day old you was dead and gone, and you became the new you because you put on Christ. If you know who you are, then you should know that your name is Christ. You know, you are Christian, so you should know that you are Christ, which means you are anointed. That means Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you, so you should know who you are at all times. All right, let's go over here, Colossians 2. Colossians 2 and 8. Colossians 2 and 8. Reads, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceits, after traditions of men, after the remnants of the world, and not after Christ. What this right here scripture is saying is that beware of those who want to try to teach you other than what the word of God teaches you after you're in Christ. Beware of those who want to try to teach you that religion, that religious type of things. You have to do this. You have to do this to be able to receive this. You do good, you get good. You do bad, you get good. You get punished. If you do the right things, you earn your way into heaven. But that's not what the word of God says. That's not what the word of God says. After you have became in Christ, then you should know that Jesus Christ has already been made available for you. You are in Christ, so that means that you should be in grace. And if you are in grace, you shouldn't be listening to what the world says about religious acts or any types of things other than that. Know who you are in Christ. Amen.
Amen. If you're listening, tuning in to the preacher and the pastor show, we're talking about today knowing who you are. And once you know who you are, you can begin to walk in your purpose, walk in your calling, and mostly knowing who God has called you to be and standing on that God has called you to be and not wavering. Because when you know who you are, there's nothing that nobody can tell you anything. different. It's about what you believe, and when you believe you are that, I don't care. I tell people all the time, if somebody say that you're beautiful, but you believe that you're not, I don't care what they say or what they do to try to convince you you are that. But if you don't believe it and you don't know yourself to be that, guess what? No matter how many compliments you get, no matter how and what people do, if you don't believe that and know who you are, it's nothing that nobody can tell you. But when you believe that and you know that, you start accepting it. And vice versa, it works the same way. So knowing who you are, if you don't know today, you know, ask God to show you, who am I, God? You know, I want to, you know, we always pray, I want to be changed by you. I want this, I want that, Father God. I want to be, and being in Christ brings change. And I'm going to go over to Daniel 1. We're talking about the life of Daniel. And we know the story about Meshach, Shemach, and Abednego, and the story of them, but their names were not that, their names were changed. The Bible says that in Daniel 1, verse 7, to them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael, he gave Meshach, and to Azariah, he gave Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacy, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he may not defile himself. One, because he knew who he was. He knew who he was in Christ. He knew who his God was, and he purposed in his heart never to defile his body, that is the temple, because he knew who he was. Though they changed his name, he still went by Daniel. Even in the book, in the Bible, it still has Daniel. It doesn't have the name that man tried to change him to be, but who he was and who he was that God called him to be, and knowing who he is and knowing who he was. And verse 9 says, now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your face looking worse than the young men who are your age, then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had said over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacy, and as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, your features appeared better and faster in the flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacy. So when we look at here, what do we understand from here? What do we get from here? So Daniel knew who he was. He knew exactly. So it's about knowing who you are so you can stand on that. And what's that in you? We talk about not the outer appearance of you. We talk about what that is in you is who you really are. What is that governs you on the inside, that, you know, that governs your reactions, you know, that governs your ways, or what are you, you know, the way that you think. That's what's on the inside of you. So Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile his body. And he told me, you know, he was saying, he was putting himself on the line by saying, hey, I'm not going to eat that. You know, he asked them to please, you know, beg, you know, their pardon to give them to feed him and his brothers, you know, the vegetables and the water, not that of the king delicacy, because he knew who he was. And it's something about when you know who you are, you can walk, I'm telling you, you can walk with confidence. I'm not talking about with arrogance, but you can walk with confidence. And when you have God on your side, knowing who you are in Christ, you can walk with confidence and knowing anything that you do, God is with you, and God is gonna place it on a heart and men that you have favor with them, even with kings and queens and people in high positions, because you know who you are, you know where you stand with Christ, and you're not going to waver your faith, your beliefs, because of what man is trying to say, because you know who you are. So even here, you know, when we talk about Daniel, when we talk about Mishael, we talk about Ezra, and we talk about Hananiah, you know, we know them. We don't ever hear the names that they were given, you know what I'm saying, they both give the names, but the names that the king changed them to, you always hear the story about Shadrach, you know, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, and then Daniel being Belteshazzar. So we, you know, understanding that, and even with Meshach, Shimrach and Abednego, when their names were changed to this, even they would not, because they knew who they were, they would not bow down to the king's demands and worship idols and worship the king, because they knew who they were and they knew who they were in Christ. So they were willing to sacrifice their whole life and say, hey, I know who I am, I know who I serve, and I'm not going to change that. You know, I'm not going to change anything. You may change my name to fit your customs and your beliefs, but I'm not going to change that. I'm still going to operate under the authority of God has placed on my life and who God is in my life. He's still ahead of my life, and I'm not going to change that because I know who I serve, because I know who I am in Christ. Amen?
Amen. Amen. That's very important. That's very important. The lesson what you just talked, you said their names were changed, but they didn't change. Now, you might call me
right.
One thing. You might identify or you might try to look at me and say, you know, identify with this group or this ethnic group or this, you know, but, you know, at the end of it all, man and woman were created in the image of God. So it don't matter what color you are or where you are. See, we all have been created in the image of God. And don't let anybody tell you who you are. The minute you let somebody tell you who you are, they have just became your ruler. They have just became your God. They have just put themselves in the position where they're going to govern your life. So you are their slave. You are their slave. There's been plenty of time. There's been plenty of time to where someone was trying to say that I was a person. They were trying to say that I was a person. And, you know, the more I sit there and just listen to that stuff it caused me to feel, It caused me to feel angry because I know who I am, and you say I'm one way. Well, I know that I'm not that way, but you just insist on saying that I'm this way, and then they try to lord over you to convince you that that's who you are. Don't let anybody do you like that. Don't let anybody do you like that because they want to be over you. They want to be over you, and they want you to be underneath them. I think it's over there in Romans. I think it's over in Romans 8. Romans 8, it tells us about a person being, thinking themselves as being so high, they are superior. A person is thinking themselves being superior. But the word of God says, you know, no man has seen God. So that means that we have all been created equal. How should I think that I am more than you? How should I think that you didn't live 21 years and I didn't live 85 years, but you are superior over me? No, that's not true. That's not true. Someone can live their life, and they could have been lived their life for 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, and never even realize who they were because they never received Christ into their life. And then there's one person who's only been living 35 years. You know, they trusted God, they believed God, they received Christ into their life, they became born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm talking about they just commune with God. They communicate with Him every single day. They listen to Him and they follow Him. So how can a person that lived all these years and never made that decision to trust anyone other than themselves, and here it is, the other person that only lived a few years and trusted God, so how can this one person say they are superior just because of the age? How many years, they live? God uses who He chooses. So when you know who you are, that means you should know who you are as far as being in Christ. Knowing who you are means that you know that God loves you. You know that God loves you. One of the hardest things that we would do in our life is understand that God loves you when you do good and God loves you when you don't do good. When you say the right thing or when you don't say the right thing, God still loves you. God is omnipotent and omnipresent. He hears every single word that comes out of your mouth and even out of your heart, too, and out of everybody else's mouth, out of their heart, too. So if you know that, that should be enough to say that, well, God, I know that you heard when I said that, but I also know that you forgave me for saying that because you know I was going to say it anyhow. Know who you are. Know who you are. And don't let things in this world condemn you. I believe that's one of the problems is things condemn us all according to things that happen, and we believe that, you know, God, I know you don't love me anymore, or
whatever it is, the case is you think that you don't be in love, we would miss that mark, and then we would have identity crisis. And that's one of the hardest things to do, is know that God loves you through every single situation that you could ever face. You need to know that God loves you. The Bible says that love conquers a multitude of sin. So how much sin are you living in? I can't say for anybody else, but we all have failed short of sin every single day. So because we have failed short of sin, if you don't know anything, you know, God, you know, God, I know that you love me, and I know that you have already forgiven me, and it's up for me to know that. So long as I know that, I won't be in that place where I'm being shamed or I'm being condemned for the things that I have said and the things I've done. God needs you to believe that. Amen.
Amen. You just been tuning into the Preacher and the Pastor Show. We're talking about knowing who you are. Do you know who you are? You know, it's okay to be honest about, you know what, I really don't know who I am. I've just been living life. I've been told how to live, what to do, but even with that, I'm just basically operating on memory of, you know, being taught by my parents, you know, okay, you get a job, you pay your bills, you eat, you know, drink.
Right.
Or whatever it is that you were taught, but still not knowing who you are. Some people are in search right now, trying to figure out, who am I? You know what? I'm making the money, but I still don't know who I am. I feel empty. You know, there's an emptiness of when you don't know who you are, when people are still trying to figure out, what's my purpose? And when you know who you are, you know your purpose, because now you know who you are, what your purpose for in this life is. Knowing who you are is very important. And when you accept Christ, knowing who you are in Christ, what does that mean? That means change. You're a changed person. You know, even Jesus, when he came, knowing who he was, no matter what, knowing who he is, no matter what the people was trying to say that didn't believe that he was the Messiah, he never once said that he was not the Messiah. He may have told people, do not tell anyone, do not reveal who I am, not as of now, but he never denied who he is, not one time. So understanding that when you know who you are, when God changes you, even right now, when you find out, you know, when you know who you are, you're in a great, I'm telling you, in the place that you need to be in, whether it's whether it's good or not good, because even when you know who you are and it's not good, there's an opportunity for change. And when you know who you are and you're in a good place, you have an opportunity to progress, you know, to progress in this life in the right direction. So even if you know what, I'm a bad person. You know what, I've done this, I've done that, but God changed me. I know who I am, but now I know who God has called me to be. Now I know who God says I am, because people have told me that you've reported to me saying I'm this type of person. And now I've taken on that character of that bad person, that bad behavior, and now I've accepted being that bad person. But when Christ changed me, now I know who I truly am in Christ. And that's what's important. Even in Jesus said to Peter, he said, you are Peter, you are the rock. And then he called him the rock, and I will build my church on this rock. Mm-hmm. And so once you receive Jesus in your life, you all, if you're listening right now, just tuning in, either on the website, at Blog Talk, or you called in today, we're talking about knowing who you are, you know, and that's very important that we know who you are. Examine yourself to find out, who am I really? I may portray myself to be something that I really am not. You know, some of us are putting on a facade. We're acting like with this, but behind closed doors, with something else. Do you know who you are? Some people don't, because they're operating in a double mind, so they're double-minded. Their yes is not yes, and yes is a maybe. They don't have a for sure word for you, because you know why? They don't even know who they are. They can't love you because they don't know who they are. They can't trust you, and you can't trust them because they don't know who they are. And to a person know who they are, they can't be the woman and the man of their word, because they don't even know who they are. So when you know who you are, you can be sound-minded in your decision. You can be, you know, your word would be bond. You know, you're just a whole different person when you know who you are. And we're talking about in Christ, because now we're talking about change here. We're talking about change, knowing who you are in Christ. You are the beloved. You know, you're God's chosen, a holy priesthood, a peculiar type of people. You are that. You are that. You know, and so when you know that, you can start to progress. And I want to go to Matthew as we're talking about knowing who you are as Jesus. came knowing, you know, nobody had to tell him, oh, you are the Messiah, or you this. He knew who he was from the beginning. There was no doubt about it. There was no wavering in who Jesus is and what he came to do. Because when you know who you are, you know what you need to do and what you're called to do. So even when they questioned him about who he was and they were threatening him, when we look in Matthew 27 verse 11, the Bible says that now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? So now he's here. He's been accused of something that he did not do. You know, he's been put on trial. So they're asking him, are you? He's been put on trial. Jesus stands at trial before Pilate, and they're asking him this. And it's an opportunity for him to deny who he is. But Jesus knows. He knows who he is, and he's still that today as he sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. So he knows who he is even today. He did not deny it. This Jesus said, the Bible said, Jesus said to him, it is as you say. They asked him a question. Are you the king of the Jews? And he said, it is as you say. Just Amen. What you said, I am that. I'm nothing, and I'm not going to deny it. You said it came out your mouth, and that is what I am, exactly what you say. And while he was, the Bible says in verse 12, and while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing because he said all he had to say. He was standing on who he is, you know, who he was then, who he still is today. He said he had nothing else to say. I am who I am. Can you say that knowing who you are? I am who I am and nothing else. You know, though they still going to question you. So, well, they're saying you're doing this and they're saying you're doing that and they saw you doing this and they said you did and you didn't do this and you didn't do that. And you said, I am who I said I am and nothing else after that. And then verse 13 says, and Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? Verse 14 said, but he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. So they're upset because Jesus already said, you know, can you stand on that knowing who you are saying, I know who I am. I said I'm this. I don't have nothing else to say. Okay. They're sitting up there. They're accusing you of being this. They're accusing you of being that. They're telling what everybody else is saying, but you're still going to stand on that. That can very well take your life. That very well can take your family. That very well can take your wealth, your health and everything. But do you know who you are and to stand on who you are no matter what the situation or circumstance is around you? Are you going to still stand and say, I am, Dora say, man, and I am Tawani commanding. I am whoever you are. Are you going to, I am a child of Christ. Yeah. I am the woman of God. I am the apostle that God has called me. I am the prophet. I don't care what you say. I'm going to stand because that's who I am, because I know who I am. Knowing who you are is important so that you know who you are and where you are going. See, Jesus had somewhere to go. He had something to do. So he didn't have anything else to say. It was said and done. There was nothing else he needed to say. They said he answered not.
Yeah.
But he answered him not one word, nothing. So the governor marveled greatly, like, wait a minute, who is this man that he won't answer? You know, like, you don't realize that your life is on the line? Do you not realize what I can do to you? Do you realize that I got your life in your hands and you're not going to answer anything with all these accusations that people saying this and you still not? Because Jesus knew who he is. He knew who he, I can't even talk. He knew who he was and is today. Do you know who you are? Knowing who you are. That is the question. Do you know who you are? Because every time I know who you are, if you're just tuning in to the preaching, the pastor show, we're talking about knowing who you are, examining yourself, looking at yourself, saying, wait a minute, who am I? Who have I become? Have I become all that God has called me to be? Or am I being all that the world said I should be? You know, who am I? Do you know who you are? Amen.
You know what I believe here, Pastor? I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe that believers, Christian men and women, are the hardest on themselves than those that have not given their life over to Christ yet. I believe that Christian men and women are so hard on themselves, and the reason why they are so hard on themselves because we think that we are in a position where we will not make a mistake because we know better. We're so hard on ourselves when we go the wrong way, or
or when we say the wrong things, or we meet the wrong people, or we cave in to temptations. It was so hard on ourselves, as if, you know, this was the only chance that you had to be able to be in the body of Christ. I made a mistake, and because I made this mistake, that's the only chance that God is ever going to give me, because I know better. And we're so hard on ourselves. This is far from the truth, and we need to stop thinking like that. Thinking like that will cause us to be in so much oppression and so much depression that you wouldn't even be able to identify yourself as being the man and woman of God. That is not the will of God for your life. The will of God for your life is not for you to be self-righteous. It's not for you to think of yourself as being so much where you don't need God, but it's for you to be righteous through Christ Jesus, who have made you righteous. We were over here in Matthew 20. I want to go over here to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3 says, blessed. So now, before I even read anything more than that, blessed. Blessed means that who you are blessed. You are blessed. Case closed. You are blessed. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Anybody that's poor in spirit? Because of anybody that is poor in spirit, that means that you are blessed. Because what Jesus was saying is, God is near. He is near. He's not far away from those that are poor in spirit, because he know that you are his children. He know that you need him. He know that you need him. And it's for you to look and say it out of your mouth, to make these confessions. God, I need you because I'm poor in spirit. He said you are blessed. And for it says, blessed are they that mourn. Anybody that's mourning said they shall be comforted. Comforted by who? You're going to be comforted by God. You're going to be comforted by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is for believers. Now, this is not for non-believers. Now, anybody that don't believe that they are comforted by the Holy Spirit, then you won't believe. But anyone that do believe, that when you are mourning or when you're poor in spirit, that God is near you. It says it over here in Psalms 34. Over here in Psalms 34 that God is, he's near. He's near. And you need to know that you are blessed because God is near. Is it anybody that's meek? Is it anybody that's humble? God is near the humble. But the proud, hey, if you make a decision that you're going to be a proud person, I'm not going to do that. Oh, no, I'm not going to go that way. I'm too proud. I'm not going to go over there and apologize. I'm not about to go over there and just ask for my job back. I know how I done clowned over here because I didn't get where I want. Oh, no. What about the meek? 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, over here in 6, it says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Is it anybody, believers or non-believers, that really want to know God? If you really want to know God, then, you know, ask for God to come into your life. Ask for Jesus Christ to be head of your life. Ask God to forgive you. Because you need to know one thing, he already has forgiven you, but you need to know that, you know, how to confess, you know, your sins to one another. And confess, you know, God, I messed this up, but I know you have already been faithful and just enough. You have already justified me. I know you're not judging me. God is not a judgmental God. We need to stop looking at ourselves like that, and we need to stop doing that to each other. We need to stop being so judgmental. We need to stop being in a place where you did this and I can't forgive you. If you can't forgive, let's go down here to 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So if there's anything in your life, and most of what it is that's going on in our life is the brokenness of our life, all because of our so-called loved ones or ex-loved ones that's left all of this brokenness and all this stuff that's in our lives, and we just can't get past because we just cannot forgive. We cannot forgive, and we can't be the person that God calls us to be. So we don't know who we are because we don't know how to do just this one thing right here, is being merciful. Forgive the one that hurt you so bad. Forgive that person, because true forgiveness, you will obtain the same thing that you are trying to give. You will be forgiven. But if you can't forgive, then guess what? then how do you expect God to forgive you? How do you expect to be able to forgive someone, for someone to forgive you? You can't forgive. Stop being so hard on yourself. Know who you are. Knowing who you are is to know the purpose for your life is to get to know Jesus. To get to know Jesus. Now, if you can place your eyes right there, place your eyes right there. Wherever you were 10 years ago, you are not the same person that you were 10 years ago. So because you are not the same person that you were 10 years ago, then why are we still looking back and still talking about the things that we did 10 years ago? Why am I still hurting behind the things that happened 10 years ago or 20 years ago, however many years ago? Why am I still looking back there? Me and my wife had Bible study yesterday, and this came up in Bible study. If you can see where you're at right now and look where you were years ago, you will realize that where you're at right now, you're pretty good. You're pretty good. You're right here where you may not be where you want to be, but you're sure not where you used to be. You're experiencing a goodness of life because you're still living. But if you go back to where you used to be and talk about that, see, that was hell. See, I'm experiencing the glory. I'm experiencing the glory of life because I know who I am. Because I know who I am, I'm going to experience this glory of life that God promised me through Christ Jesus. But if I keep on looking back to what was a long time ago, I want to experience the hell that I was living in and that the ones that were inflicting on my life. Know who you are. Know who you are. And knowing who you are is to know who you are in Christ. Amen.
Amen. You just tuned into the Preaching the Pastor Show. We're talking about knowing who you are. And standing on that, you know, and operating in the knowing, the know, instead of the unknown, we're going to write you all out to our Bible study on Wednesday nights, which will be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock from 7 p.m. to 7:40 p.m. Central Standard Time on our conference call. If you have a pen and paper, we'll give that information over to you. Again, if you're just now tuning in, we're talking about knowing who you are and how important that is. Some people know who they are early in life, some later in life, and some die not knowing, you know, and still wondering and living in life or just being lost, you know. And it's important to ask God, who am I? You know, show me who I am. And Lord, help me to walk in the calling that you called me in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So our Bible study is on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., 7 p.m. to 7:40 p.m. Central Standard Time. The number for the conference call for Bible study is 978-990-5417. Access code is 434-1580#. Again, the number is 978-990-5417. Access code is 434-1580#. As we continue to talk about knowing who you are, knowing who you are, you can just imagine with the apostles when Jesus called them to be his disciples, you know, the 12 disciples, you know, who were they at that time? Some were just, you know, regular people living a regular life, fishermen, tax collectors. You know, they had different positions that they were holding, but Jesus called them, you know, they were friends, you know, so he had a different perspective, a different outlook of who they were. So that's why he called them. He saw something that was in them, not what they were doing, but what he saw in them to call them into the fold. And so we just thank God that if you're out there not knowing, and when Jesus comes into your life, because it's all about Jesus coming to your life and changing who you used to be, the former you, into the new man, the new woman in Christ, it changes you. And now that you know who you are in Christ, and I'm just going to share with you all some information about, you know, the disciples and, you know, who they were. And then when Jesus came into their life, who they became. You know, they became the apostles who traveled and spread the word of God throughout the world, you know, raising up churches and preaching the gospel from the ends of the earth, you know, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. So knowing who you are is very important, especially if you're operating in the body of Christ, especially if you're in a fivefold ministry. We want to make sure that you know who you are, that you're not in the wrong, operating in the wrong office without the right gifts, because you can imagine somebody that's in the wrong position, operating as a cook when you're operating as a cook when you're a waiter. you know, operating as a waiter, but you're a cook. You know, so it's just, you know, making sure you know who you are so that you can operate effectively in your knowing. So, again, if you're just now tuning in, we're talking about knowing who you are. I'll talk about when I knew, you know, who I was when I realized what God had called me to be. It's exciting when you get to that point, especially when you know that people still asking that question, who am I? You know, and you hear people saying all the time, you know, you hear young people saying it a lot, but then you start, you know, lately I hear a lot of older people saying, you know what, I want to be honest. I don't even know who I am. I've allowed people to pull me and drag me and tell me what to do and where to go, and I'm confused. I don't even know myself. I don't even recognize me anymore. I don't know if you ever heard that before, but I've heard it. And it's sad to say, because when you get Jesus, you understand, you get your identity, you know, in Christ. You get your identity, so there's no misunderstandings of who you are. You can definitely stand on that no matter what comes up against you, no matter who try to tell you something different or show you something different. You're going to stand on what God says about you, what God has called you to be. And that right there is where you stay right there of knowing who you are, and that is in Christ. So when we're talking about the disciples, Simon Peter was a fisherman. So word says that he was impulsive and later bold. And then later on, he was bold in prophecy. I mean, he's bold in preaching with Jesus. So, and then James, he was also a fisherman. He was ambitious, short-tempered, and judgmental, but he was deeply committed to Jesus. John was a fisherman. He was ambitious, judgmental, and later very loving. You know, he became that, knowing who you are, became a loving person. Andrew was a fisherman. He was eager to bring others to Jesus. Philip was a fisherman. You know, he had a questioning attitude, but having Jesus, it changed him. Bartholomew was unknown what he did, but the Bible says that he was honest and straightforward. He was a straightforward person. This is about knowing who you are. Are you that honest, straightforward person? Is your word is done? Is you someone that is loyal? Knowing who you are, it embodies all of the these characteristics of knowing who you are. Are you somebody that is trustworthy? The Bible said Matthew, he was a tax collector. He despised outcasts because of his dishonest character. So he is the person that despised outcasts. You know, are you the person that has courage? So Thomas, he was a twin. He had courage. He was a person of courage and also with doubt. So who are you? Knowing who you are, you know, who are you? Some of us are teachers. You know, we have that spirit to teach. You know, some of us are preachers. We preach, you know, before you know it, like, man, do you know you're a preacher? You know, you ain't never preached, but people are listening and saying, do you know you're a preacher? And you know, you're going to say, oh, yeah, I know that. I just ain't preached my first sermon. You got that on you. That is in you. You are preaching and knowing that. And guess what? When you know that, you start walking in there. You start walking towards that. You start going, you know what I'm saying? You start operating in that thing. So now when you know, you're like, okay, this is who I am. So I need to do what it takes to be all that I can be and knowing who I am. So God called you to be a pastor, to pastor a church. If God has called you a prophet from your mother's womb, if God has called you an apostle to travel to build up churches, God has called you a pastor, a church, whatever. God has called you a minister to minister. You know what you're calling. Just know who you are and know that you know your calling. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Knowing who you are is not trying to be like someone else and other who God made you to be.
Yeah,
I don't care if
a lot
you
of
are
imitators.
Identical twin. Yeah. I don't care if you are identical, if you have someone that looks just like you, a twin. You can be identical. As far as, but I know this one person, he worked with me in this particular job, and man, he was just a firecracker. I'm just going to say it like that. He was a firecracker. And then here it is, his brother showed up, which was identical to him, and was very subtle and humble, and I was like, wow, y'all look so much alike, but man, you are nothing like your brother. So I'm just saying that knowing who you are is not identifying with trying to be like somebody else. Knowing who you are is knowing who God created you to be. Know what it is written. Knowing who you are is knowing what it is written in the Word of God. When you know what is written in the Word of God, then that's the way. That's the way. Read the Word of God. If you don't know who you are, then read the Word of God. Not only read the Word of God, believe it. And then start looking at yourself in a different manner. Okay? So knowing that you are more than just a human. See, we think we're just
humans that we just hear, and we, you know, we're going to live and we're going to die. But that's not what the Word of God says, you know, that we are a spirit that lives in a body. And when you die, you know, there is this thing where they said earth to earth, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust. So the body's going to go back to where it comes from, and the spirit is going to go back to where it comes from. So if you don't know who you are, you should know that you are a spirit. God is a spirit, and he created you in the image of him, so it means that you are a spirit as well. You need to know who you are. You are a spirit, and you have God's power. You have God's power. You have access to God's power. You have access to the Holy Spirit. You have access to communication with God. Golly, how you don't know who you are? How are we walking around in this world of just being broke down? We're just all busted up. People say things to us that call us, you know, to be insecure and to, you know, they lied to you and said that they love you, but what they really was trying to do is trying to use you and trying to abuse you and trying to destroy you. Know who you are. Know who you are. John 10:10 said the thief come but to only steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said that I come that they may have life and have it in more abundance. Knowing who you are is knowing that you have life and you have it in more abundance because God said it. What did God say about you? What I say about you, that does not matter. What does God say about you? Now, if you worry about what I say about you, what does that mean? And you believe me. You believe me other than you believe God. Believe God. 1 Peter 3:10. See, these are scriptures of you knowing who you are. Knowing who you are is what tends to fly over your teeth and out your mouth. What are you speaking? What words are coming out of your mouth? What are you thinking? What's in your heart? Because it's going to come out. What's in your mind? It's going to come out eventually. We can try to hide it and try to say that, you know, I'm not a cheater, but you have all the actions of a cheater. I'm not a liar, but you have all the actions of a liar. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a fornicator or a killer, but you're showing all of the actions. What you say is not lining up with what you do. Well, how is that possible? How is that possible? Knowing who you are is definitely looking at the fruit that you produce. When I'm talking about fruit, I'm talking about the things that you are putting into the world. What are you putting into the world? That's a good way of knowing who you are. And if you are putting the wrong things in the world and you realize that, you don't have to keep on being up. You don't have to keep on doing that. You don't have to keep on being wicked. You don't have to keep on cheating. You don't have to keep on lying. You don't have to keep on fornicating. You don't have to do these things. Well, you're the new person. That means the old person is gone. God don't remember that old person, and you shouldn't remember that old person either. And don't let anybody remind you of that old person. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation in them which are in Christ Jesus." But why are we so worried about who we used to be? This scripture right here says, Romans 8:1 says, "There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So you're in Christ. What you beating yourself up so hard for? Know who you are. Know who you are. Amen.
Amen. If you just have tuned in to the Preacher and the Pastor Show, we're talking about knowing who you are as we wrap up the last few minutes of the show. The Bible says in John 15:15, as we're talking about knowing who you are, and we're talking about in Christ, as your life has changed, the Bible says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Amen. So Jesus is saying right here, because Jesus Christ is Lord and Master, he should call us servants. But instead, he calls us friends. How comforting and reassuring to be chosen as Christ's friends, because he is Lord and Master. We owe him our unqualified obedience. But most of all, Jesus asks us to obey him because we love him. With knowing who you are in Christ, he calls us his friend. in the name of Jesus Christ. We just want to thank God for all the listeners on tonight. May God bless you. May God help you. May God increase you in your peace, your joy, your happiness, and your protection in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And if you don't know who you are, I pray on tonight that you would examine yourself and ask God to show you who you are and teach you to be that all that God has called you to be, to create in you a clean heart and a steadfast spirit, to change you from the inside out. And just ask God and listen, God will do it. If you sincerely want to be changed, you want God to do it in you, God will do it in you. Amen. We just thank God again for you all tuning in to the show. I want to leave with one scripture before we have food put out in Galatians 2:20. The Bible says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, knowing who you are in Christ and knowing that Jesus, he did it all for us. So how have we been crucified with Jesus? Legally, God looks at us if we had died with Christ because our sins died with him. We are no longer condemned. You are. We are no longer condemned. Know this. You know who you are in Christ. That we are no longer, that you are no longer condemned. When relationally, we have become one with Christ and his experiences are ours. Our Christian life began in unity with him. We died to our old life, you all. In our daily life, we must regularly crucify sinful desires that keep us from following Christ. This, too, is a kind of dying with him. And yet the focus of Christianity is now dying but living. Because we have been crucified with Christ, we have also been raised with him. So legally, we have been reconciled with God and are free to grow into Christ's likeness. And in our daily life, we have Christ's resurrection power as we continue to fight sin daily. We are no longer alone, for Christ lives in us. He is our power for living and our hope for the future. Knowing who you are today, we thank God for you. Food for thought.
Amen. Amen. What a great lesson for tonight, knowing who you are. I got a chance to examine myself a little bit more thoroughly, but I didn't condemn myself. Now, I looked at some things that I might have said, and I looked at some things I might have done, but I didn't become ashamed. I became humiliated. It's the difference between being shamed and humiliated. Humility, this is where God can deal with you. God can deal with you in a way where he's going to build you, where he's going to bless you. When you accept humility, but when you accept shame, God does not shame anyone. That's the work of Satan, when you're ashamed about things. That there is a difference. There is a difference. But I just want to have a little food for thought right now, a little food for thought. A baby grows up and no longer needs his mom's milk. He has to decide on his own to use his own hands, his teeth, to be able to chew bread, eat fruit and vegetables, and drink water on his own. So because of this, how more can you be filled with the Holy Spirit and not know what to do? So if you have the Holy Spirit that's in you, and there's something that's going on with you right now, whether it's in your mind or it's in your body, how can you say you don't know what to do when you have an excellent spirit that knows all, that lives inside of you, that you can communicate with, you can call upon it and be able to do all things from healing to delivering to setting free, whatever it is that your heart ever desires in the name of Jesus? Just a little food for thought for tonight. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank you all for tuning into the Preaching the Pastor Show. It's been a great show, knowing who you are, being able to examine ourselves on the show on today. And, you know, if we're that person, you know, I'm, you know, being honest, if you're that liar, if you're disobedient, if you're proud, if you're an obedient person, if you're a person that lives a life that is upright, if you're a person that's loyal, a person that's forgiving, a person that is caring, you know, knowing who you are and then what God has called you to be, and understand if God has called you, he will equip the call. You don't have to worry about what man say. God will equip you for the great work that he has for you. So trust God in all that you do and lean not to your own understanding and ask God to direct your path, and he will definitely lead you in the right places so that you will be blessed. You know, ask God to help you to lean not to your own understanding. Excuse me, because a lot of us, we We only want to listen to ourselves and our own ways, and you think our way is right, and you know that about yourself, you know. And that's why this show is about knowing who you are. And then when you have Christ, when you receive Christ, you receive change. You become a new person. So that was a disobedient, a private person, that is put aside. That dies. So we thank God on today. You all tune in tomorrow night at 8 p.m. We'll be back with the Word of God being led by the Holy Spirit. We thank God for you. We love you, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. You have a good night. It's tomorrow at 8 p.m. We'll see you then. God bless you. God bless you all. Thank you.
God bless.